The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Once upon a time, there was a radio show called The Eric Metaxas Show.
It had an announcer named Todd, who was the handsomest announcer in the land. Eric was bitterly jealous of Todd's good looks.
But there was nothing he could do.
He just had to accept that cruel fate had made him as ugly as a toad.
And now your host, warts and all, Eric Metaxas.
What? Hey, hey, it's The Eric Metaxas Show, and I'm sitting here with my friend Ken Fish. Ken, welcome back.
We're live in New York.
In case people don't know who you are, they have to go to your website, kingdomfireministries.org. They can find out about you at kingdomfireministries.org. But you've been on this program many times, and we had some extra time, and I thought, let's continue our conversation. We're going to hear from Gary Wilkerson, I think, in the second part of the show. But right now, I want to talk to you about something you brought up the last time we were together, namely evil. Evil is not something we are typically comfortable discussing in this culture. We kind of make it sound spooky, but real evil. A lot of people say, "I don't believe that there's such a thing as evil. I think there's bad people." But when we're talking about evil, we're talking about something especially dark. People of the Lie, a famous book by M. Scott Peck, which was really a game changer for me as I was considering Christianity 30 years ago. I read that book and I thought, here's a Harvard psychiatrist writing about his experiences with what he concludes is actual evil. And the final chapter of the book is an exorcism, basically. And I thought, if this guy believes in evil, maybe it's true, and then maybe there is a God. Because if you're talking about evil on this level, so you've had experiences with it. And so I want to talk for the few minutes we have about that.
Well, in terms of the world I live in, most of my encounters with evil are with evil spirits.
Yeah.
And we drive them out, and we've discussed that before. So, we could revisit some of that, but that's the most common expression of it. But, you know, there are people who are evil people. And we generally are discouraged, I would say, by our culture, media, education, from labeling certain people
evil.
Well,
now, I would give you a pushback on that in the sense that I think sometimes we label people evil, like we say Hitler was evil, and we say this was evil. And I would say, well, wait a second. I don't know that a human being can be evil because we're all created in the image of God. And only if you give yourself over totally to evil do you become evil. And I don't know that anybody is beyond redemption while they're still breathing, right? So I don't know. What do you mean when you say that?
Well, I would agree with everything you just said, but there's no question that some people do things. They commit acts, or they say things, or they engage in sometimes hidden activities,
right,
which are themselves evil in their intention.
Correct.
And their outcome.
For sure.
Yeah. So can people be redeemed while they're breathing? Yes, they can. Will they be redeemed? Well, that's a function of if they repent.
Right.
But there's no doubt when you look at I mean, everybody knows it. It's almost become shop-worn to say it, but, you know, the Holocaust.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not the only Holocaust that's happened. Before there was a Holocaust in Germany, there was a Holocaust in Armenia. I went to Armenia this last summer on a trip and, you know, was ministering in that country. And there was actually a bigger percentage of Armenians were died in their Holocaust than as a percentage of the Jews. Now, there were more Jews killed in absolute numbers, but percentage-wise, the damage to the Armenian people was even greater.
Well, the problem with killing millions of people, to quote Stalin, is it's a statistic, right?
Right.
So let's talk just more specifically. When I hear, and there are all these lurid programs on about whether it's Ted Bundy or the BTK killer or whatever it is, when I look at those shows and I see how these killers killed people and were obsessed with killing people and cannibalism and so on and so forth, I say, look, this is easy. This is demonic. This is satanic. There is no other explanation.
Right.
Good luck. You'll never find it. This is very specifically demonic. So we have evidence in the culture of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is the prime evidence, because it makes absolutely no sense, you know, by any other standards.
That's correct. I really have nothing to add to that. You're exactly correct. And then you can take that to a higher level, though, and you can talk about regimes which orchestrate this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, we live in a highly politicized time, and you know, there's a great debate raging in our country around, you know, Donald Trump and the wall and this and that. And listen, none of that even comes close to what, say, happened in the Gulag under Stalin or in China's equivalent thereof, where respectively about 100 million and 60 million people died. And it was deliberate and it was premeditated and it was intentional. I mean, I don't even know how you talk about that. That's half the population of America today, and all those people were just wiped out.
Well, we know that at the highest levels of the Nazi regime, there were people like Himmler, for example,
yes,
who were thought to be particularly evil. Right.
Yes.
That there was something about them, that there was a darkness that followed them, a frightening kind of darkness. And many of them were involved in the occult, and many of them seemed to. And this is more than Hitler. I think of a lot of them as actually being more evil, quote unquote, than Hitler in a way, when you know the details. Not that it matters, because you're comparing evil and, you know, evil. But some of them were specifically involved in occultic practices.
Correct.
It's like they were worshiping foreign gods, the gods of earth and soil, right? And I have read plausible accounts that they felt that killing the Jews would give them spiritual power.
Yes.
Which is as satanic as it gets. I mean, it's like, you know, you watch Apocalypto or any of these movies where they have human sacrifices. You think, what is going on there? That they're butchering human beings.
That's correct.
To get some kind of occultic power, right? But I've heard about that, and I guess I wonder if there's a cognate with what's happening in America with killing the unborn. Like, what spiritually happens to a culture that does that? What are we buying with the blood of innocents?
Well, I think cultures that engage in any kind of systematic bloodshed, eventually, they are called to account. You know, as they say, the wheels of justice turn slowly, but they do turn.
Yeah.
And, you know, God is not slow by his own reckoning, but in our minds, perhaps he is. But he notices everything. The eye of the Lord runs to and fro through the earth. And with that, he notes things that go on, and in the end, he will bring justice to bear on these unrighteous situations because he is opposed to evil, and he is himself holy and pure.
I get that. I agree with that. I guess I'm just fascinated with the idea that we tend not to talk about that. I mean, we talk about God's judgment, but you really wonder what is going on in the spirit realm.
Yep.
That.
Well, the thing that's underneath all that, and I think this is where you're pointing at, is most of these kinds of groups, they thrive on the power of blood. And, you know, whether it's some kind of a what appears to be a sick prank where cats and dogs are, you know, found slaughtered, or, you know, something happens on Halloween. Or maybe a little more sinister, some of the things that we periodically hear about that have popped up on Facebook or other social media sites where, you know, people are talking about how they want to kill people and use their blood or drink their blood, or, you know, whatever it may be. There is something in that dark world of the demonic that craves blood. And there's kind of a hierarchy, if you will. I mean, I'm sure some of our readers think I must have just absolutely gone off the rails here. But at the lowest level, they'll take animal blood. But better than that is human blood, and even better than that is innocent human blood. So there is actually an ascending scale of what is preferred. And people who are into that sort of thing use blood to acquire and collect and use power, spiritual power.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's something I've heard about, I've read about. There's a reality there. Maybe not everybody's going to buy what we're saying, but it's worth at least being familiar with, mm-hmm. to understand how evil works, what is the coin of that realm.
Well, when you start talking with people who have been in that realm.
When we come back, let's talk about that. We're going to go to break. Folks, talking to Ken Fish. Stick around.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
When I look back, I'm amazed at how long I kept all my troubles bottled up inside. I couldn't get to sleep because it was all I could think about when my head hit the pillow. I was losing sleep, slipping into depression, withdrawing from everyone around me. I had no energy or drive. I was losing myself. I was at my lowest point when I heard about Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who helped me work through my issue. They want to give you a free week just so you can try them out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready, by text or phone, even video conferencing, from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. Why not give it a try? If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
You wouldn't put a square peg in a round hole, so why would you deploy a traditional firewall in a modern decentralized network? Firewalls have new requirements for businesses leveraging SaaS-based applications and public cloud platforms like AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud. We're in the cloud generation now, so your firewalls have to be engineered to fit right in. Reclaim your cloud network. Try a Barracuda Cloud Generation Network or Application Firewall free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
With all the recent news about online security breaches, it's hard not to worry about where your data goes. Making an online purchase or simply accessing your email could put your private information at risk. You're being tracked online by social media sites, marketing companies, and your mobile or internet provider. Take back your privacy by using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, and tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one click. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. Protecting yourself with ExpressVPN costs less than $7 a month. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Hewitt. That's expressvpn.com/Hewitt for 3 months free with a 1-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/Hewitt to learn more.
Imagine a politician saying this today. I have wondered at times what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress. That is a quote from Ronald Reagan. He showed us through his life, his faith, and with his words that Judeo-Christian values and principles matter. You can help spread the legacy of Ronald Reagan, and you can do it by getting a Reagan email address. Right now, if you have a Gmail, AOL, Yahoo, or other big tech company email address, you help them market their service with every email you send. In return, they scan your emails and target you with unwanted advertising. Well, thanks to our sponsor, ReaganPrivacy.com, you can instead share the Reagan name with every email you send, and they won't scan your emails. They'll leave you alone. Get an email address you'll be proud to own at ReaganPrivacy.com. Your very own personal private email address is available to you at ReaganPrivacy.com. Get your Reagan email address right now at ReaganPrivacy.com.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel all right. You know I work.
Hey there, folks. Talking to Ken Fish. We're going to be back after this segment with more with Gary Wilkerson, the son of Dave Wilkerson, the late Dave Wilkerson, my former pastor, Dave Wilkerson, and the cousin of Todd Wilkerson. But listen anyway. Talking to you, Ken, we got about 10 minutes. We're talking about some dark stuff, but I said it's important to talk about. When we're talking about the satanic, there are people who traffic in this. There are people who do this, that they kill animals to gain spiritual power with dark forces. They kill people. There's a lot of horrible stuff that happens. And I think if you talk to cops, you can hear some stories. But
well, there was a mass murderer here in New York probably, I'll say, 20 years ago. I might be off a little bit, but around that time. And he was known as the Son of Sam.
That was 40 years ago, and I have corresponded with him.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. That was 40 years ago.
Is that right?
In fact, I take that back. 42 years ago. Summer of 77, the Summer of Sam.
Wow. Okay.
I remember it like it was yesterday. And, yeah, he was involved in satanic ritual stuff.
He actually has a website that you can go to, and he – kind of gives his whole confession of here's what I got into and here's how I got there.
As I say, I've corresponded with him. He had a very dramatic conversion to Jesus.
Yeah.
He's not the same person. And, of course, many people don't believe that, but tough luck for them because it's true. He is a dramatically different person. So, yeah, he's written about that.
Right. And I think it's interesting on his website he actually says, I'm not writing this because I'm trying to get out of prison. What I did, and I deserve to pay for my crimes, which is clearly the language of somebody who has come to terms with what they've done.
Oh, he's totally repentant. Yeah. The dude has never – in fact, he has refused parole. He doesn't want parole. He feels God called him to minister to other prisoners.
But I make that point because there would be people who would say – that's all just a sham.
Yeah.
And they would say he wasn't really doing what he says he was doing.
Right.
But the behavior itself tells you that there's been something authentic that's happened in him.
Well, so what does he say? In other words, when we talk about satanic cults, a lot of people say that's just fiction.
Yeah.
That's crazy stuff. You know that it's not.
I know it's not because I you know, periodically run into people who are coming out of those cults. Occasionally they're, you know, warlocks or whatever they are. And other times they are people who have been victimized by those cults. It just depends on who it is. I don't make it my stock in trade to do that, but I guess when you do what I do from time to time, it finds you. So there you go.
And what do you say to somebody flirting with that kind of stuff? Because I think a lot of people think it's fun. It's kind of like when you play with a Ouija board. People think, oh, it's sort of fun and scary. They don't seem to understand what they're playing with.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we live in a funny time. You know, I think the America that I grew up in, I wasn't aware of anybody who was into that sort of stuff. And it was pretty well understood. Whatever Satan is, whatever evil is, you don't want to be over there. And so generally people just kind of stayed away from it. But there are people now who openly profess, you know, I am a Satanist or I am involved in, you know, this kind of thing.
But they've been deluded into thinking he's not Satan. In other words, they act like no, he's the good. It's like a different narrative, right?
Yeah,
like
right.
Now, Lucifer is the liberating force from the patriarchal oppressive God.
Right.
So they believe that. Also, you have a lot of this blurring where people talk about being Wiccans And they say, well, it's not Satanism, it's this, it's that. So there is a continuum
Absolutely.
In that world.
Sure.
But there are still people that are somehow in love with darkness and evil.
That's right. And when what they don't realize is it may initially seem attractive to them, but in the end, the powers that they're contacting will dominate them rather than them dominating those powers. In other words, it will get out of control.
The way I have put it, I think in one of my books I've written about it this way, that it's kind of like, let's say you owe a lot of money and you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
And somebody says, I know somebody who can lend you the money. And it's a loan shark, it's the mafia. But they give you what you need and you say, thank you. And you take the money and you go and da, 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 and now you're free. And then you realize, no, I'm going to now be under the thumb of the one who gave me the solution.
That's
they
correct.
Are going to be worse than what I had going on before. So when somebody says, I can solve, like, let's say somebody says, I can heal your kid is sick. And you say, you can heal my kid, how? And they go, well, it's, you know, never mind how. And let's say it's the powers of darkness that heal your kid. You know, do you want to sell your soul for eternity? Do you want to be under the thumb of something satanic? You better be careful where you get your help from. That's my
right.
point. And
exactly.
I think that there are people who say, like, I don't care where it comes from. It's spirituality. It's all good. And we're here to say, no, it is not all good. In fact, that part of it which is not good, which is not Jesus, is satanic. And maybe it's overtly satanic, but maybe it's just kind of masquerading as nature worship or whatever it is. But you're playing with really scary stuff.
That's
and I always want to say that to warn people, because you've seen this.
Yeah, I have. And I think the ancients had a pretty good grasp on the fact that there were these spirits out there that were about. We're on some sort of a boundary condition right now between what used to be called the view of modernity or post-Enlightenment culture or the scientific paradigm. People put different names on it. And I know those are not all used interchangeably, but I'm just trying to make it so our listeners and viewers can access what I'm talking about.
Right.
And this newer one that is emerging in the postmodern society, where people have a much more open worldview, and people are starting to reacquaint themselves with spirituality,
right.
Whereas in the 60s and 70s and 50s, maybe they didn't, because it wasn't intellectually defensible, and you were mocked for it.
Yeah.
Now people are in this place, but over here now in the new world that we're coming into, it's like anything goes. And what we're really saying is you need to be discriminating about what it is that you're dabbling with, because there is good spirituality and there is bad spirituality as defined. And from time to time, that bad spirituality will show its face, and people can, you know, try to perfume the pig, so to speak. But there's no way you can make evil be good when we're talking about the kinds of behaviors we've just been describing.
I mean, look, with our friend Matt Bennett, we were ministering to a friend who got deep into yoga. People say, what's wrong with yoga? Let me tell you, I saw evil spirits delivered. This woman was delivered from evil spirits having to do with worshiping entities in the yoga world.
Right.
If you had said that to me 2 days earlier, I would have said, it's not a big deal. It's like some stretching, and this person's not into it deeply, so I wouldn't, you know, come on. It was freaky.
Yep.
And I thought to myself, there are tons of people opening themselves up spiritually to all kinds of stuff. They don't have any clarity on, could it be dangerous? They're convinced that this is just good. Is this good? It's spiritual. It's good for me. It's like green tea. It's good for me.
Yep.
But it's not. It's really scary. And part of what I want to do in the program is just to educate people that if it ain't Jesus, I would be really, 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 really careful, because I know too many stories of people saying, oh, we just played with a Ouija board. Or we just – it's like you have no idea. I mean, The Exorcist opens up with how did that girl get demonized
you know,
from messing around with a Ouija board. This stuff happens. And maybe it didn't happen to you, but it happens a lot.
We could sit here and do a whole show on exactly these things, you know, occultic objects and Ouija boards and all that stuff. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to, and we don't have time to do it now. But
yeah.
There's plenty to say in this area.
Yeah, well, I would like to say it in a future show, we can say it, but you are on the record as saying that all that stuff is scary.
Oh, yeah. It's very dangerous. very dangerous. It's dangerous not only in the now, it's dangerous in the future, because we actually do face, after death, our Maker. Whether we know it or not, whether we believe it or not, it's going to happen. And for those that have aligned themselves with that other side, it says that God prepared hell, the lake of fire, for the devil and his angels. Well, that's what it was prepared for. But those who align with the devil and his angels suffer a similar fate.
I would like to think that people should, just to be logical, just to be fair, they should be scared of hell.
They should be.
This doesn't mean you live your life
in fear
of hell.
Yeah.
You should live your life loving God.
Right.
But to pretend that turning your back on the God of love doesn't have consequences, I mean, I wish it didn't. I mean,
I agree.
But it strikes me that God has created a reality in the natural and in the supernatural where there are consequences. And I would just say to people, since we're going to go to a break here and we're done with you for today, I just want to say, people, at least take this seriously, because we're talking about important stuff. Take your life and all these things a little seriously so that you don't blow it off, because we know enough to say it might be worth doing that. My friend Ken Fish, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
KingdomFireMinistries.org. KingdomFireMinistries.org. When we come back, we continue the conversation with Gary Wilkerson. Stick around. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Businesses and government offices have reopened in Haiti after more than a week of violent demonstrations over rising prices and allegations of government corruption. In Port-au-Prince, people are lining up now to buy food, water, and gas. Haitians had protested to demand the resignation of President Covenel Moise. It didn't take long for critics to come out against President Trump's declaration of a national emergency along the southern border. White House senior advisor Stephen Miller says the president could issue his very first veto if Congress tries to overturn the declaration. The sailor shown kissing a woman in Times Square celebrating the end of World War II has died. George Mendoza was 95. Mendoza's daughter says he fell and had a seizure Sunday at the assisted living facility in Middletown, Rhode Island, where he lived with his wife of 70 years. With SRN News, I'm John Scott.
Happened. You used to go hours without visiting the bathroom. Now it seems like you're constantly getting up to go, and you're even getting up at night to go. This is not okay. Listen, the makers of Super Beta Prostate, the number one prostate formula, are introducing a new wonder pill, Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced, with three key ingredients that are great for your prostate. It's like taking three prostate supplements in one. To celebrate, we're sending free bottles to men who want to cut down on bathroom trips. Yes, your first 30-day supply is free. Pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-257-5387. Early research suggests that an ingredient in P3 Advanced may help support a normal prostate size. Combine that with a reduction in bathroom trips, and you have a formula you'd be crazy not to try. Get P3 Advanced free. Call 1-800-257-5387. 1-800-257-5387. 1-800-257-5387.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
I wanna put on my mind.
Hey there, folks. I know that you tuned in to hear KC and the Sunshine Band. Now you've heard KC and the Sunshine Band. I have in the studio with me Gary Wilkerson. You may know him as the son of the great evangelist David Wilkerson. Gary, you are now yourself a grandfather. You've got a new book out called God's Favor, and it's just a joy to have you back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
I want to talk to you about the stuff we didn't cover in the last interview. You know, I think people are always fascinated, you know, when they're talking to somebody like Franklin Graham or whatever. What is it like to grow up in that home? Because you get to see what my daughter sees. You know, people see me speak or preach or they read my books or whatever. She sees me as her dad.
Yeah.
With the good and the bad. She's the worst side of me is probably what my wife and my daughter see, or my parents, you know, because you're just being you, you know, mm-hmm. and sometimes you is not so great or whatever. But I mean, what was that like? Because your father was a fiery figure. I mean, I remember him so vividly,
yeah.
But he was a very fiery figure. What was that like growing up as his son? Because you don't seem that way, neither does your brother.
Right. No, when he was home, he was different, not in the sense of a different man, like he preached one thing and then lived another.
Yeah.
He was consistent in his message and his lifestyle, but he was different. He was very gentle and quiet and calm at home. He'd get up into the pulpit and all of a sudden, just like my brother and I would be going, like, "What happened to Dad? What, you know, that's there's something in there's fire in his belly."
Right.
And it was fun to watch. But he lived it. He had integrity. He had love. He had life. It was a joy, you know, to see. And now, you know, I think the good thing, I grew up in New York here, and so I was really glad, just for at least for my family's sake, that we went to public school rather than like a Christian school.
You know, wait a minute, I forgot that you grew up. He was in New York in those early years.
Right.
Now I don't remember when did he.
Like high school years, we moved away to West
Coast. Texas.
Texas, yeah.
You know something? I forgot about this. I've heard your father and your uncle Don talk about your grandmother having a coffee house in Greenwich Village.
Called the Lost Coin in Greenwich Village. Yeah, back in the 60s. Yeah, it was kind of like
pretty
radical time.
Yes, yeah, that's the Jesus People movement. I mean, it was possible to do stuff like that in those days.
So my dad's father was a pastor, and then his father was a pastor, and his father. I'm like the sixth generation pastors in our family, and then my sons are getting in the ministry as well.
No,
so that's
no pressure, boys.
Yeah, no.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so that's but going back to what you said about my dad, I loved his integrity. I loved the fact, and he was flawed. He had things that your daughter, you said, would see of you.
Yeah,
I could see that, but it wasn't to the point of glaring, like where I looked at him and say, hypocrisy, you preach one thing and live another. So that kept me. And why I think part of the reason, other than maybe the call of God on my life, the reason I'm in the ministry today is when I was a young boy, I saw him preaching. It was during what they called the hippie movement and the Jesus movement. So all these kids with long hair, no shoes on, living out in the streets. He started preaching about the love of God. And then at the end, he said, "Come forward and Jesus is going to change your life." And he said, "If you have drugs or anything, if you're in a gang, just throw up all your paraphernalia here on the stage." And it just looked like a cloud. All of a sudden, there's like knives and guns and heroin needles coming up on the stage, cigarettes. And he was saying, "Jesus is setting you free." And I looked at it and go like, this is life-changing stuff. This is no small thing. And I said, that's what I'm going to do with my life. So I've never wanted to be a fireman or a policeman or a politician. I've always wanted to be a preacher because I really believe the gospel has the power to transform lives.
It's interesting. I remember going to Times Square Church. I was in my, my middle 20s when I started going there, and I'd just been saved. But I remember hearing Denny Duran and other mm-hmm. people, and I remember thinking, man, that's what I want to do, you know. And so it's an amazing thing to get opportunities to actually do that all these years later. But
and I know you're preaching there at Times Square Church.
Sometimes they let me in the pulpit. I know it's a big risk. Carter Connell has taken a big risk, but I honestly. I think I love nothing better. There, for some reason, I get such joy being in that church. The worship. I mean, if there's no preaching, the worship is insane.
Isn't
it's the
it?
Most beautiful, anointed. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I love it there. But your father, I mean, the story of your father, you know, some people don't know the story of the cross and the switchblade, but the idea of this rural country, I mean, he was a true country preacher, holiness movement, going to New York City in the 50s to work with, like, Puerto Rican gangs. Oh, my gosh. That's, like, as radical as it gets.
Yeah.
And then he I mean, you were born like in the middle of this stuff.
Yeah, I was being born in the book, The Cross Switchblade. There's a story about my mom being pregnant while my dad was not there. He was in New York City preaching. So the very week that you mentioned Nicky Cruz, this notorious gang member that gave his life to Christ and is now this worldwide recognized evangelist, the same week that I was born in the hospital in Pennsylvania, he was being born again in a relationship with Christ, my dad preaching here in New York City. So whenever I see Nicky, he's like, you know, how old are you now? They're like, that's how long he knows he's been a Christian. So we kind of share a birthday, his spiritual and mine physical. But I think the most important lesson, I'm going to jump ahead to one thing I want to really say to you. The thing I learned most, my dad died about 7 years ago, and I look back and said, what did he teach me the most? And the most important lesson I learned was whenever there is in the world a problem that looks impossible, that's exactly where Jesus and his church needs to be. So if it's drugs, let's get after it. If it's gangs, let's go for it. If it's homelessness, whatever the glaring problems of society are, that's where the church belongs. Not run from it, but engage in
right.
it. And he said, I remember him telling me, he said, I didn't do all that just because I love those people, although I did. I did it because I wanted to demonstrate how loving and powerful God was. And so
I want to mention, you've got a book out that talks about this called God's Favor. God's Favor is the book. My guest is Gary Wilkerson. We'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Albin, I would like to talk about Relief Factor.
Sure, yeah.
But you know what? Even better than my talking about it, what about if we hear from Julia? Can we hear from Julia?
Yeah.
Is she here? Let's go.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
Okay, I got to say, Relief Factor was actually created by doctors who wanted a 100% drug-free supplement that could help your own body deal with inflammation and those aches and pains due to aging, exercise, whatever it is, which is why I take it. Look, you can do all kinds of stuff, but this is—it's very inexpensive. It's drug-free. It's safe, and within 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you. It works for most people, so check it out. It's ReliefFactor.com. Highly recommended, folks. ReliefFactor.com.
Hey, Mike, how's the house coming along?
Needs a ton of work. The pipes are leaking. Needs a new roof. The AC just broke. I just don't have time to do it all myself. You know anyone?
Oh, just ask Home Advisor. They match you with the best local pros for any home project.
Cool.
Yeah, you can read reviews and book appointments online.
What's it cost?
Actually, Home Advisor is always free to use.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app. Home
Advisor. When I look back, I'm amazed at how long I kept all my troubles bottled up inside. I couldn't get to sleep because it was all I could think about when my head hit the pillow. I was losing sleep, slipping into depression, withdrawing from everyone around me. I had no energy or drive. I was losing myself. I was at my lowest point when I heard about Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who helped me work through my issue. They want to give you a free week just so you can try them out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready, by text or phone, even video conferencing, from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. Why not give it a try? If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
The way you get your medicine prescriptions is now changing across America. GoGoMeds.com can deliver your medicine right to your door. Ask your doctor to send your prescription to GoGoMeds.com. Once you fill in your information, it's in the system and your prescription is delivered. It's just that easy. Go to GoGoMeds.com and use the promo code Mike2018 and save $10 on your first prescription. That's GoGoMeds.com, and the promo code Mike2018 gets you $10 off your first prescription.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas. If you know My Pillow, you already know how effective it is. On this program, we joke half seriously that it is the official pillow of Rip Van Winkle. Mike Lindell dedicated himself to inventing a pillow
that works, that's effective. It's not a joke. I mean, he, if you know his story, we've interviewed him on the program. It's an amazing story, right? Okay, well, if you're looking for a great night's sleep, right now is the perfect time to get your first MyPillow. By the way, if you already know how great it is, you can get them for everybody you know. But I say that because right now on this program, to my listeners, there is a special offer, a four-pack offer that includes two premium MyPillows with two go-anywhere pillows plus free shipping. You have to call 800-978-3057 and use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or call 800-978-3057. Do it now.
Once there was a way to get back homeward. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep pretty darling, do not cry, and I will sing a lullaby.
Hey folks, that's the Beatles, I'm Eric Metaxas, and my guest is Gary Wilkerson. The book is God's Favor. Gary, we were talking about your father, David Wilkerson. I had the privilege of, you know, when I first came to faith, going to Times Square Church and hearing him preach, you know, every week. And it was you know, life-changing stuff. And Bob Phillips and your mm-hmm. Uncle Don. I mean, you know, you never know a good thing when you have it. Like at the time, I just thought, oh, this is, you know, normal Christianity. And you realize it's not. But your father passed away, you said, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And what were the exact circumstances? Because I remember the night it happened, a friend of mine, Donna Soma, We had all gone to Times Square Church together. She called me up or whatever, and I it was never clear. It was a car accident.
Yeah, yeah. He was in his late 70s, starting to sort of mentally slow down a little bit. So I'm not sure if that had something to do with the car accident. He drifted into the oncoming lane, and a truck hit his car head on.
Wow!
And instantaneously, the doctors say he died instantaneously. My mother was in the car with him, and she broke a hip and ribs and concussion and stuff. So she was immobilized for like a year. It was a real tragic time. I remember sitting in my office in Colorado and somebody calling. My brother-in-law called me and said, your dad's just been in a car accident. And I said, well, you know, I'll come down and check on him. He's like, no, you can't check on him. He's gone. He's died instantly. And it was just like, because it, not only was he a father, but he was a friend and a mentor. So I felt like I really lost a lot that day.
Oh.
It was very painful. And then, you know, people all over the world that his life had touched. He wasn't a guy who touched people lightly. He had almost every story here about his life. It's not sort of like, I read his book, it was really good. It was like, I was a drug addict and now I'm not. I was going to commit suicide, and I went to one of his meetings and I got saved, and now I'm a mayor of so-and-so city. You know, just weird, wild, amazing stories of so he didn't do things half-heartedly. But, when he died, I think the world lost a lot of good things that could have been done. But it was tragic.
Well, that's the mystery. The only joy that you have and I have is that when someone like that, we lose them, we know that they're more alive on the other side than they were ever here. And you just think about people who do not have the faith that we have and how genuinely horrifying death is to someone like that.
It really
because
is.
They don't, I mean, we believe that there's joy. Like we have, we feel sad,
yeah.
But we're sad because we're here, because they're no longer with us.
Yeah.
But we rejoice that they're in the presence of Jesus, and it's the greatest thing. We can't even imagine. And you think about people who don't believe that, and I think life must be pretty unbearable if you don't know that. And so that's why when I share Jesus, just as you're talking about, it's I want to give people what I have, this beautiful peace and joy that I didn't used to have, and that you know, it's just like it's just huge. Now you mentioned your mom. Your mom had a lot of health stuff going. I mean, I remember she dealt with cancer many times.
Yeah.
I mean, and she passed away recently.
She did a couple of years, three, 4 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you've lost both your parents. But, I mean, they were an amazing couple. I mean, I just can't even think that
what your mother went through with her health stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, what a challenge that was for all of you, because, you know, the people in the church understood that she's struggling with this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Family issues are something that we're all having to deal with. You know, we're parents. You know, we're often concerned about our kids. As kids, we're concerned about our parents. And so I'm with you, man. If I didn't have the knowledge of the goodness and the love of God, I don't know what I would do. He's rescued our family from some wild stuff. Just real briefly, I'll just share one more story with you. So my dad started Teen Challenge, a drug rehab program.
Yeah.
And one day my son came home. He was about 14 years old, and he smelled kind of funny. And I went, "What is that?" And it's like, and I was so naive. He told me, "Oh, he's at a campfire." Except he'd been to a campfire like every week for like 3 months in a row. So I was like, something's wrong here. And I finally found out he was smoking pot. And then my wife and I started praying for him. And he got worse. The more I prayed, the worse he got, to the point, long story short, he was actually became a heroin addict. Dave Wilkerson's grandson, the founder of Teen Challenge, that has like right now 20,000 people are getting help, getting off drugs. His own grandson is homeless, living on the streets, shooting heroin in his veins. And one day, my wife got this word from the Lord, that actually like a picture, a vision of Jesus taking our son into her arms, into his arms. And my wife was just crying, like, are you going to take him home? Is he going to die? And she said, no, just you got to give him to me. And we gave our son over. He called me a few days later, said, you're not going to believe this, Dad. But in my room, it was pitch black. This light came in, and I felt the love of God for the first time in my life. And I'm a new person. That was like 5 years ago now. He's totally clean and sober and married, has a little baby.
I mean, when you say that, see, again, I mean, look, I wrote a book with the title Miracles, okay? And because I want people to know this stuff is real. This is for today. But a story like that, people listening right now, they've got all kinds of problems.
Absolutely.
You're just describing like one of the worst nightmares for a parent.
Totally nightmare. I cried myself to sleep almost every night, just like, is he going to die? I get that phone call. But to see, that's why I love to share the love of Jesus. He is a miracle-working God. Your book, what a powerful title. That says it's a miracle. He's a miracle-working God.
People need to know that, so I'm glad you shared that.
Hurting families, hurting people, you know, suicidal people.
Well, okay, maybe people think too, like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, my son's a drug addict, but that would never happen to the son of David Wilkerson. His son would never be. And you're telling us that you and your wife, godly, praying people who you believe you raise your kids right, and then that happens, and yet God allowed it, and that he then used your prayers miraculously. I mean, for your wife to have a vision, number one. Number two, for your son to report to you that he had this miraculous thing. You know, that's what we want. We want to see that. We want to see God real.
Living it out, yeah.
And we've got a few minutes left. I want to remind people before we go to the break, you have a new book out called God's Favor. You talk about this kind of stuff. And we're not talking about God's favor. We're not talking about all the good stuff, because we can just hear from the story of, you know, your mother's health problems, your son's drug, stuff like that, that God's favor, it might not be health and wealth, but his presence, his love. When we come back, folks, we'll continue the conversation. We're talking to Gary Wilkerson. The book is God's Favor. Stick around.
When I look back, I'm amazed at how long I kept all my troubles bottled up inside. I couldn't get to sleep because it was all I could think about when my head hit the pillow. I was losing sleep, slipping into depression, withdrawing from everyone around me. I had no energy or drive. I was losing myself. I was at my lowest point when I heard about Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who helped me work through my issue. They want to give you a free week just so you can try them out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready, by text or phone, even video conferencing, from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. Why not give it a try? If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump will protect his national emergency declaration, guaranteed. Senior presidential advisor Stephen Miller goes on to say the president will issue his first veto if Congress votes to overturn the declaration. Miller spoke on Fox News Sunday.
We have families and communities that are left unprotected and undefended. We have international narco-terrorist organizations. This is a threat in our country, not overseas, not in Belarus, not in Zimbabwe, not in Afghanistan or Syria or Iraq, but right here.
Congressional Democrats plan to introduce a resolution disapproving of the declaration. It is likely to pass Congress, with several Republican senators already indicating they would vote against the president, though there do not appear to be enough votes to override a presidential veto. And businesses and government offices have reopened in Haiti after more than a week of violent demonstrations over allegations of government corruption. This is SRN News.
Following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges. Reduce your interest and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Taxes Show. A few minutes left with Gary Wilkerson, whose new book is God's Favor. Gary, we were just saying before, your family suffered a lot. So when you're talking about God's favor, you're not talking about like worldly blessings. God's not against that.
Right.
But the point is, he allows those he loves to go through stuff.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of people who confuse those things. They think that if God loved me, he would not let this happen to my son. He would not let this happen to my mom. He would not, like, why? I thought God loved me. But you know God loves you, and you've experienced these difficulties.
Yeah. Sometimes I think it is worldly blessings. Like, I had money to pay for the taxi to get here today because he blessed me. Like, so I like that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah.
I'm not against that.
Yeah.
But that's not preeminent. That's not what drives us. What drives us is that he's with us no matter what we go through, good times or bad. And a lot of people, you know, bless God when they seem to be prospering and in good health, and then they start, you know, doubting him. Does he exist when they're suffering? You know, the fear of the Lord of it's the beginning of wisdom. And so to say that there's power in him, like that fear is not like I'm afraid of him, but there's a power in God through the storms. Sometimes Jesus calms the storms, and sometimes he gives you power to walk through them or to endure them.
Yeah.
And I think both are really important. And but you know, I think you probably agree with me. I think I've learned more through the suffering than I've learned through the good times.
Don't you hate that? I always say, like, nobody would choose suffering, but if you walk with God and he allows it, you know you're going to be okay. Because, you know, you put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. When you walk through the storms trusting in him, it's different.
It is.
It's totally different. He really is with you, and
that's what I say in the book. That's the ultimate favor. He's with you. He's with you. He's a father, and so I've been, you know, you as a father, you know, you've walked through the park with your child, but you've also sat next to them on the bedside when they're sick, and for me, I remember my mom. I was always more comforted when I was sick, and she was there, sort of with the chicken noodle soup, and putting her arm on me. That's the comforting stuff, and that's God's favor too. Is that he comforts us through the difficult times? He's there. He's present.
It's an amazing thing. It's something that it's so easy to take it for granted, and that's a big message of your book. Is that this is the greatest thing ever? The idea that God wants to be with you. That the one who created the universe, who could do anything, wants to be our friend, wants to love us, wants to share his life with us. He wants us to share. If you grasp that, there is nothing greater than that.
That's the greatest miracle. That's the greatest desire. That's the only thing that fulfills that God-shaped hole in our heart, is that relationship with Christ.
There's no doubt about that. I want to ask you, we just got like 30 seconds, what's next for you? Are you going around and talking about this message? I guess you would, because your book's just out.
What's next for me? I hope wake up every morning, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely I've been given, freely receive. And then tomorrow I want to wake up and heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons, love the poor, just live this stuff like Jesus did every single day. And I'm doing less as I get older with big projects and programs and agendas. I mean, I still have to do that. I'm head of World Challenge.
I think healing people and raising the dead and all that stuff, it's kind of big stuff.
I want to do a little more of that.
I just want to let you know that's kind of big stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time. Gary Wilkerson, God bless you. Thank you for being my guest. Congratulations on the book, God's Favor.
Thank you so much, Eric.
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.